Dear God, we come to you in that wondrous and mighty and loving name, the name of Jesus. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you for your Son. God, help us to be vessels that would honor, praise, sing the highest of hallelujah to your wondrous Son. Oh, what a debt. But God, what a life He has brought to us. And thank you for that abundant life. Thank you, God, that it's growing. And hallelujah, the very glory of God is being grown up in them that are willing to yield. Lord, may we just magnify your name today. May we just glory in your love for us. And in that we say thank you in the wondrous name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles today. And we're going to the Book of Galatians, in the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially, exceedingly, unto them who are of the household of faith, to them who are the household of faith. Now the Lord has brought my thoughts in reading this verse back to that wondrous story of the diamond dust, and how a young man was so inspired as he sat there and he watched a gemologist take five diamonds, and these five diamonds were in their rough state. And they looked just like ordinary rocks. There was no glow, there was no coloring. And he took those rocks and he clamped them on a wheel. And that wheel would spin at tremendous speeds around and around. And as it would spin, that gemologist would take from a bag and put in his hand this dust. And this dust was diamond dust. And he would sprinkle that in this wheel. And that diamond dust would gnaw and cut away at the rough exterior of those stones. And as he would stop after each application of the diamond dust, he would examine the stones and he could begin to see the splendor that was hidden in that jewel that would begin to come out. And bit by bit, the jewel began to appear. And as he did it, brothers and sisters, over and over and over and over, finally, those ordinary, rough-looking stones became the gem that was hidden within. They became the gems that were ready for display. They became the gems that were ready to make known to all that He has loved them. Isn't that wonderful? See, I can't help but say that. It just kind of comes out. But that's what the Lord does. But today, brothers and sisters, it is diamonds cutting diamonds. Isn't it wonderful that Christians can be utilized by the grace of God to add the finishing cuts of perfection to one another? And it is a wonderful thing. And you think that those finishing cuts, the Word of God tells us, these are readied stones that are going to be set in the heavenly city, the Holy Jerusalem. And praise God, even the very glorious jasper brightness is what the Lord encourages us to attain. And it was that very thought that the Lord used to convict my heart and really convict my heart. So I hope this is for you today. But He said, son, you know what? Whether that you are receiving these cuts or whether that I'm using you to give these cuts, I ask you that you always respond in love. Amen. Always respond in love. And receive the full reward of the test. What a wonderful thought. See, brothers and sisters, true diamond cuts upon our lives. True diamond cuts. They happen in one and only one place. They happen in the throne room. That's the truth. They happen in one place. And that is the wondrous throne room of God. See, by the grace of God, He's encouraging my life. He's telling me, step out in faith and in love and operate and be motivated by my love. Because we know that the Word tells us that that's how we know we are in the throne room, Because there's nothing but love in the throne room, brothers and sisters. You see, trials will inevitably come. They will. But only when trials are truly met in faith does the benefit of being shapen and formed into the very image of Christ come about. And I really am encouraged to speak today, brothers and sisters, of the ultimate finishing cuts. I'm talking about the cuts of those and for those that are willing to abide in the complete and very perfect will of God, talking about the splendorous, wondrous cuts that are oh so necessary if we're ever to fit that wondrous wedding dress. Amen? Amen. So here we are, and the Lord has put upon my heart to express to Him, may we desire to be a salve this morning, brothers and sisters. May we, by God, be convicted for our hearts to be a blessing. You see, we have this wondrous high calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. But I think often our prideful flesh, brothers and sisters, seems to take over, and often we think that we are immune from consequence. And what I'm getting at here is immune from a consequence where we can think that we can just go in and cut at a brother or sister in Christ and just leave it there. And you know what? It had nothing to do with love or edification. God forbid we be fooled, brothers and sisters. God forbid we'd be fooled that when we are maliciously cutting one another, come on now, really, when we're maliciously cutting one another, whether it's out of spite or anger or jealousy or bitterness, that it's working together for our good. This is a serious sermon. I hope that they all are. But this one I really believe, when we're talking about brotherly love, when we're talking about the Philadelphia love that's the absolute, absolute requirement of entering into the midst of the throne, I'll tell you what, we best pay attention. You think so? I think so. He got my attention this week. God forbid I would miss that first trump. God forbid. But let me tell you something. Those that are receiving those cuts like that, sure, God meant it for their good. Let me tell you something. When you're receiving the wondrous stripes with Him, sure, God meant it for your good. Just as Brother Joseph, he could say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. Hallelujah, I know that. Because that's the Word of God. But wondrous is that. Also, there was no blessing that his brothers, who were viciously going after him in hatred, there was no blessing there to those brothers. Joseph was receiving the blessed cuts of perfection in that throne room, but those brothers in the state of heart that they had at that time when they were viciously cutting him, let me tell you something, they were nowhere near the throne room. They hadn't even entered into the courts of the Lord. What do you think? Amen to that. All right. I hope you're still with me. By the grace of God, I really do hope, brothers and sisters, that we're willing to be still. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, when I'm in that dentist chair, I'm real still. I don't want him to miss. I don't know about you. Be still. Lord, cut. And may we allow Him by grace to cut deep this morning. Because see, brothers and sisters, it is really time to launch out. Don't you want to go deep? Praise be to God. I'm so thankful. I remember I really didn't like the water too much, but you know, then the Lord showed me the Caribbean ocean. I sure like that ocean. It's nice and warm, kind of like a bathtub. And I was someone that I'd just get my ankles deep and different things like that. But you know, when I got out in that water, it was amazing. They couldn't get me back in the boat. Plus, I was getting sick in the boat anyways. So I wanted to be in the water as much as I could. But I would get out there so deep. I know some of them were worrying about me. That brother's way out there. But you know what? When you get out in the deep, and especially that deep, you can see things. You can see all the way through, can't you? Isn't that wonderful? I can see all those marvelous fish down there, all the glorious handiwork of God. Now take that into the things of God in spirit. You launch out in the deep and He'll show you things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has even entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. But see, but God, being so faithful as He is, He wants us to go on, and He gave us a wondrous Holy Spirit. And in that Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, we can go in to see things that were hidden, oh, so hidden, but now are revealed to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you see, brothers and sisters, it is time to shine. It is. It's time to be a gem. Praise God. It's there. And every child of God has that potential because it has that life. You know that. I hope you do. We started off by the grace of God, His perfect, holy, righteous child of God, the moment that we gave our hearts to Him. The moment that we accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, He gave us that perfection. Let it come out. Praise the Lord. Let it come out in the fullness of glory, that we might grow up into Him in all things, even into His very image, from that wondrous glory to glory to glory. And that's the sprinkling of this dust that we're talking about here today. I want to shine like the pearl of great price. How about you? I want to shine, as the Word of God tells me, as that brightest of jasper. I want to be, by the grace of God, if He'll allow me by faith to shine. And it's shining for Him. And it's Him shining in me. Has nothing to do with me. But thanks be to God, I know how He loves me and I know what He wants me to step into. I'm seeing it more and more in His Word, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. But you see here, brothers and sisters, I don't just do good to a Christian. Listen to this. I don't just do good to a Christian to see the heaps of coal, those hot coals being poured on their head. Did you know that? Really? No. By the grace of God, I hope Philadelphia love would reign in this life. And see, when a Christian does me wrong, when a Christian does you wrong, don't go sitting there. And I've been so guilty of it many times. Oh, that's just the brotherhood. That's just what they do. I don't want to get complacent like that. That's my brother and sister in the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I have a pretty tight natural family. And I'm thankful to God that I don't believe I can ever remember my brothers or sister doing me wrong. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess the peanut butter on my face when I was a little kid and letting the dog run lick it off wasn't too nice, was it? Or when I was a little guy and they turned off all the lights and had the black and white TV set in their room and they told me I was colorblind. So you didn't realize how much you had to pray for your pastor. I didn't get a lot of things. There's some other things I could tell you, but God forbid I'd tell you in the house of the Lord. But truly, brothers and sisters, as much as I love my own natural family, if something was done wrong to me, I'm confident in the Lord that He would have me love my brother and sister. I'm confident in the Lord that He would never allow something to divide us to where we wouldn't speak again. I really am. I'm confident in God. But it's not because of natural blood, it's because of the blood of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, I've been in a time in my life when I was hurt so by things that have happened, whether it was in this meeting or to different ones, not necessarily to me personally, but to other brothers and sisters. And see, we think that we're taking even a higher road sometimes because, well, it wasn't done to me, it was done to my dear sister over there or something of that nature, so I'm not going to talk to you at all because you hurt her. That's not the love of God. He never leaves nor forsakes His children. He just doesn't. God, help us to have great compassion. We need it. We need to be gentle one to another. I appreciated my brother Bob. He gave me a book. And he had me read just a page or two out of it. And this man was describing the love that the Lord had for that woman that was caught in that act of adultery. And see, those ones that came to accuse her, they didn't see a person there. They didn't. They just saw a thing. And whenever we start looking at people like they're just things, they're just items, they're just cases, they're just whatever it is, you're going to lose the love of God, brothers and sisters, because it's not going to be there. Lord showed me. And truly when I look at you, it's only His grace and it's only His love. I see souls. And I see souls in the balance. And only the love of God can get us to look at people like that. It truly is. I'm talking about people that might have hurt you so. People that might have gone even against the very things of God. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. You think we can have that love? You think that's the love that He's calling out today for His brothers and sisters, His children to have? I know it, because that's what the Word of God tells me. That I would know that and know it with you. Isn't that wonderful? That I would be able to comprehend it with all the saints. Isn't that just amazing? Not just a bit of it. Not just to experience it on the outside. But to launch out there in the deep and to understand every dimension of the love of God. That's when it's going to take hold. That's when it's going to do something in this life. Praise be to God. But see, when we love in the Philadelphia love, brothers and sisters, we're going to accept the pain. We're going to accept as it comes because we know that it's coming from God. We're going to accept the suffering and be truly, in a sense, thankful for it that, Lord, You counted me worthy to suffer with You. But most importantly, when you're accepting the love of God, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to respond in the love of God. Do you get that? Do I get that? It's not going to lash out. It's not going to say, well, Lord, I go to church all the time and I'm loving You and I was done wrong and now I'm angry. Oh, no. It responds in love. And that godly love will always bring about godly intentions. They'll come out. And those godly intentions, as they are fulfilled in our life by the grace of God, will provoke one another to love. And yeah, there will be conviction there, absolutely. But the love of God's going to rule the day. Amen. It will. It'll just rule the day. And see, take the greatest example of the love of God ruling the day was our wondrous Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dying upon the cross. You say, well, there's no love that day. There was the greatest love that day there's ever been. I hope you embrace that moment, brothers and sisters, in a way that God has never allowed you to embrace it today, to know that love, oh, the love that poured forth that day and has never stopped. The Word of God tells us, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. I think about that as a daddy all the time. It is for daddies, but it's for all of us. Let's get into the deeper meaning of the things of God. And I would hope by now, brothers and sisters, that there would be a whole slew of mature father-like Christians in this meeting. What do you think of that? Do you think it's about time? Is it about time for the people and the children of God truly to grow up? Is it time that we've received this message and allow it to work effectually, applied? Not just coming in here and taking up space and thinking, well, I checked in and that's good and I've done it. I've been there. I don't want to waste any more time. Amen, amen, amen. Fullness of glory. All the fullness of God. Man, He's called us to something marvelous. Something so amazing. Brothers and sisters, that we would occupy as mature Christians. That we would move as the mature men and women of God. That we would promote godliness. That we would respond in love. That we would be kindly affection. Man, we're stepping out there. One toward another in the Lord. Oh yeah. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. Oh, yes, He is. I'll tell you, He's on the wing. And I believe it's very soon. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I am encouraged in my heart to say, Lord, I don't even want to chance one root of bitterness, one root of bitterness that might be holding me back to delay the departure of my departure when the first trumpet sounds. It is serious, isn't it? It really is. It's absolutely critical serious to, Lord, search me. David finally, he saw it. He never even took it for granted that there was no wickedness there. He knew that there was. And he said, Lord, search me. And if there be any wicked way in me, let's get after it. And lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah, it is. Now, moving it with enlarged steps is the mighty men of God. Mighty men. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. How can we say we love Him? How can we say we love Him whom we have not seen? When we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ that we see. Amen. How much more direct does it have to be? And I'm thankful to God that He is that blunt with it. How can I say that I divinely love You, Lord? I've allowed the agape love to be washed, to be filled, to be overflowing in my life. And then I can say, by Your grace, I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Oh, but they've done me wrong. Oh, but they turned away from the things of God. Oh, but I was married to them one time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't know how to plead with you, but I know He does. And He doesn't want you to miss it. He doesn't want any deep-seated root of anything holding us back. And I'm telling you, it feels so good to let it go. It feels so wonderful when the love of God comes in. And He allows you just to say thank You, Jesus. To embrace somebody that I haven't embraced for years. And not just to do it out of, well, I think I've got to do it. No. It's called the arms of Christ taking over this body. And it's just embracing Him. And it's not saying, I love you. Oh, no. It's, they knew that they were Christians because their love one for another. It's awesome stuff, brothers and sisters. It just is. It wasn't in word and in tongue, the Word of God tells us. It's in deed and in truth. It's in deed and in truth. They were not hearers of the Word only, brothers and sisters. It wasn't just stored up in their heads. It wasn't just because they came to church week after week after week after week. They were doers of the Word. It worked effectually in them. The love of God was poured into their life and it flowed out. Yes, this is what the love of God can do. It can change us from glory to glory. It allows us to step out of the comfortable shell that you have been in bondage in for I don't know how many years. It does do that. It really does. God, help us to come out today and to be the glorious living ones that He wants us to be. I want to be transformed. How about you? And I know that if I'm drawing breath, He's got more transformation for my life. He's seen that vision. It's there for me. All those good works that He foreordained before the foundation of the world, that I should walk in them. They're there for me in every single step. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's the love of God. If there's one in hate and in indifference, in jealousy, in bitterness, whatever it is, that wasn't the step of the love of God. That's not the step of a striding runner that's running well, that's going down that race course and is going to embrace His wondrous Lord and Jesus. Thank You, Lord, and say, it is finished. God, You finished this in my life. I'm not defeated by this anymore. And Lord, I'm stride after stride after stride in You. And I'm seeing the glorious, wondrous face. Man, it's just so real. It just is. His Word is so alive. It's the only living thing that there is. And Christ in me, His Word in me, is the hope of glory. Can you imagine to be transformed? I don't want just two wings, I want six. I don't want just two or three eyes, I want to be full of them. I don't want just glory, I want Shekinah glory. I want to be full and overflowing with the love of God. Is it worth it? We know that is. But I'm going to ask you, is it worth it? Whether it's true or false, whether it's fact or fiction, whether it's real or imagined, about a brother or sister in Christ, is it worth it to allow it to fester? Is it worth it to just sit on it? Is it worth it to bury it so deep within that it could never get out? Is that worth it to miss God's best? Is it that valuable to you? These are solemn times, brothers and sisters, very solemn. See, God's dealing with lives here today. I know He is. And I'll step front and center and say, Lord, You're dealing with me. Jesus.
I have loved you with an everlasting love. You can love one another with the love of me. There is victory on the wing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's lives in the balance here today, brothers and sisters, to win His best. I know that grace is abounding here this morning. And I know that His grace is, as the Word tells us, it's all sufficient in all things. Oh, absolutely. So I will give you an abrupt end because I believe the Lord is dealing so mightily. And I'll give you an immediate invitation. Immediate. I hope you know how immediate it is. Why not today? Why not today? Don't just sit there Sunday after Sunday, please. Why not today? Why not now? I know that there are lives that are not going to wait another minute. I know that there are lives that are already leaning to come down to this altar right now. Absolutely. Because you know why now? Because tomorrow just might be too late. tomorrow might be too late. Let's pray. Dear God, we just ask that You would give us a tender heart. God, help us to be tender men and women, gentle towards the things of the Lord, and as You're dealing here so mightily with hearts, may we not delay one more minute. These altars, thank God that they're open. But thank God that You're open for business now. And You want to deliver today. And there's nothing hard for God. The only thing is a willing life has to meet Him. Lord, help us. Help us from ourselves. Your grace is so present. And in that we say thank You. And may we come boldly to the throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.